Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He's in Happy Valley, and that'll be a real good tournament resume booster. And then all of a sudden, the Jerry head might pop back up at the rack against Maryland on Wednesday, their last home game. So we'll see. I mean, now I'm invested. Now, you know, St. John's is out. They've been out. They've been a non-factor this year in the college basketball season. I am invested in Rutgers and the giant Jerry head and where this team can go and where that giant Jerry head might be somewhere in the tournament if it goes up to Albany or somewhere else. So I'm pulling for him tonight to get that tournament resume bolstering win, and we can keep this train a-rolling here. And that gives more work to Chris Lopresti. He wants Rutgers to win the national championship, for crying out loud.
That's right.
Because every time Jerry's out, he is in, for the most part, if the right email goes out. All right, CeeLo, you got an update for us or what?
Yes, sir. Brought to you by 2x London. Visit the engagement experts at AmeriCat of Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. So it is another brutal injury blow for the Yankees, now down 2/5 of their starting rotation before we even hit March. The dye contrast MRI revealing a partially torn UCL for Luis Severino in the right elbow. It's Tommy John surgery. It's out for the season, perhaps part of next season as well. And we know Severino had complained of forearm soreness dating back to last fall's ALCS, two MRIs, and a CT scan throughout the winter. Brian Cashman asked why this wasn't caught earlier.
The point of injury was not around the ligament.
Or at least where he was feeling the pain. So now he's on the shelf again. 20 1/3 innings pitched, including the playoffs, since signing that 4-year, $40 million extension this time last year. What's the plan now moving forward?
He's not a choice for us in the 2020 season, so it leaves us with, you know, obviously people competing for the vacant spot.
And tough to find
Brian Cashman sucks
outside help at this stage of the game. So the likes of Montgomery, Loaisiga, Sessa, Garcia, King among the names who are now in the mix. And Luis Sessa did toss a scoreless inning in yesterday's 4-1 spring training victory over the Blue Jays split squad. Aaron Boone pretty upbeat for a guy who just lost his number two starter.
We're good. I mean, we got a lot of good pitchers, and we'll kind of figure it out. And it's an opportunity, obviously, for more and more people to kind of kick the door in.
And certainly makes the signing of Gerrit Cole and the retention of J-Hap that much more important. As far as the Mets go, 9-6 loss to the Tigers yesterday. Michael Wacha, though, a couple of scoreless frames in his spring debut. And Tim Tebow blasted a 2-run homer, his first in any of his big league camps. It was actually his first extra base hit altogether. I'm going to do the hockey before the football because it'll get lost in the shuffle if not. As Boomer mentioned, playoff-type atmosphere last night at the Coliseum, and you were not happy with the performance early or late, if I have that correct?
Yeah, the first 10 minutes, man, they were just hanging on, and Gorgiev was making save after save. And then the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game, they just sat around and watched the Islanders just spend almost the entire part of that game in their zone. And it was really disheartening that they gave up the late goal for the tie.
Islanders do tie it up, but the Rangers prevail in OT.
Taken away by Panarin. Panarin breaks toward the net. He's double-teamed, and it's knocked away. Zibanejad scores! He scores! The Rangers win!
Sam Rosen on the money, MSG. Was that a home game or
I tell you, it sounded like a home game. I know, it was great. And, you know, the one thing I will say, Panarin is ridiculous. I mean, that's a pass to Zibanejad.
Yeah, right. He's basically triple teamed.
I was going to mention that. I mean, as great of a call that was by Sam, there was two things that were left out. One, it was a triple team, not a double team, and it wasn't knocked away. It was a pass. So, I mean, for that to be able, that type of skill and power in that spot is pretty impressive.
You know what I don't understand from the Islander standpoint is why isn't Barzal out there?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Maybe matchup situation. They've got the last call on that at home.
And as much as I appreciate Brendan Smith kind of reinvigorating himself and getting his career back on track and playing a little bit of, you know, fourth line winger, and now he's got to go back to, you know, the defense. He is not a number one defenseman.
No.
Early in this game, Barzal went right around him. He's just not fast enough back there. But I do give him credit because, you know, he's on the penalty kill as a defenseman and will block some shots and stuff like that. Man, but if they're going to put him out there against these first line players, they're asking for trouble, I think. But that's just my perspective.
So Mika Zibanejad with the game winner, 28 seconds into OT. Rangers get the 2 points. They win the game 4-3. Eighth straight road win, new franchise record. David Quinn, happy with the effort.
One of the things I thought tonight is we really had it between the ears tonight and between the legs. And we, you know, some guys were sluggish, but I thought we really managed the game well.
There you go.
It's got to mean brains and balls, right?
He dances around it. Torch used to say balls as big as the building, you remember.
Right, correctly. So he's basically saying we played smart and we played with balls.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah, I see.
All right, a little sandpaper.
Yeah, I like it.
Truba laying out Del Cole.
He did, and you know, and this is the thing. This is why you signed Truba. That, you know, because you want a steady defenseman back there, but you also want a physical presence, and that's what I call an $8 million a year hit. And need to see more of that. He's been physical, but that kind of hit, you know, kind of sends the message that you're here to play and let's go.
Well, PG Pageau sent the message because he jumped right in there, dropped the gloves, got himself 17 minutes worth of penalties, but obviously gaining a lot of respect from his new teammates.
Yeah, but thank God, though, because, you know, that guy would have had like 5 goals last night.
Exactly.
He always scores.
Kills the Rangers.
Us.
He got the nice bounce off the backboards there, you know, off the glass.
And what kind of bounce is that?
Listen.
I mean, what are we doing here?
It happens sometimes.
Is that a hockey rink?
Could have very easily been the Rangers.
Hockey rink?
Let's be
doing?
Fair. Could have been the Rangers, right?
But it wasn't.
Well, they had the Islanders have the goal waved off in the third period, which was questionable at best.
Hey, the guy, the referee called it off immediately.
Yeah, I don't know.
He saw it in real time, so.
Yeah, it's questionable.
But, look, I would have hated that had that call gone against my team.
That's
to be
why
fair,
we gotta be
yes,
fair,
to be
yes.
fair, yes, I get it.
And
but,
you probably would have not liked Truba not being called for a penalty on the hit against Del Cole.
That was a clean hit.
Some head contact. Let's be fair.
It's a clean hit, man.
We'll see what the league thinks about that.
Boring.
Just with the way that the league is called
these
days.
Shut up. Come in here and I'll clean hit you to the head.
Pageau, as you mentioned, did score the first Isles goal in the second period. Just one from Barry Trotz here. Very excited about the new acquisition.
What a great pickup by Lou. You know, I the picks are nothing. I can tell you that because a lot of picks never play.
I like that because there was some criticism I saw from some of the experts grading the trade deadline. One I saw gave the Isles a C-, said they gave up too much. So Barry
Trotz signed him to a contract extension.
Right.
And I'm telling you, in games like this, especially when you're, you know, defending your own goal late in games, what do you have to do? You have to win faceoffs and you have to clear the puck. And if you're not winning faceoffs, which unfortunately the Rangers weren't doing, then it ends up in the back of your net.
Pageau was 71% last time. If I'm not mistaken.
And when they get Casey Cizikas back, they're going to be fine. They're going to have a really strong center rotation and they'll be right back in the mix, assuming that Casey does come back.
All right, before Gio, you know, offs himself over there.
What are we doing?
Standing situation. Isles one up for the top wild card spot on Columbus. Rangers are now 4 back, 3 games in hand on the Blue Jackets. They're at Montreal tomorrow night, and then they have a home-and-home with the streaking Flyers over the weekend. You all said the Devils beat the Red Wings 4-1.
Just put it this way. Nobody on either one of these teams had a maintenance day for a game. I can tell you that. They're showing up and they're playing.
That's right. So in the wee hours of this morning, you had representatives from the NFL Players Association vote to send this new collective bargaining agreement, which has already been approved by the owners, to the full union membership for vote. So if they get a simple majority vote there, it would put the new CBA into effect for the upcoming season.
You know, the owners are smart. So the bottom half of the union all gets $90,000 raises, which is the bulk of the union. There are about 112 guys that, you know, make the big money, that their 17th game check would be less than what their regular 16 game check would be. So, you know, so they put it back into the, you know, the union, the players' hands, and half of the players don't even know what the hell this means. They have no idea.
I would say more than half.
But, you know, yeah, I'm in. I mean, as long as I can make more money, I'm check. Check the boxes.
So Richard Sherman, I believe, was in on these meetings yesterday with the owners, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's been outspoken against it. So for them to come out of it and now
I don't know
vote
how
for
he
approval,
feels. I don't know how he feels personally, about it personally. Right, but, you know, the problem is that you have 32 owners. Everything goes through the front office and the commissioner's office, and it's a much more organized group of people that are organizing or that are negotiating with a group of people that are all over the place, can't even get together. Because once the season starts, the players can't get distracted by this. They have to go play football. So all of this stuff is going on behind the scenes. And this is the first time that all 32 player reps, if all 32 did actually show up in Indianapolis, got together. You know, meanwhile, the owners are getting, you know, kept up to date every single day. So it's a real big disadvantage for the players. But I would think that it's going to get passed, and I would think we're going to see a 17th game, not this year, but probably next year.
And maybe the playoffs change for next year? Because that's really what it comes down to. How is this going to affect our viewing?
I think we're going to get new playoffs this year.
Out there.
I think we're going to get a new playoff
this year. And maybe 17 games next year.
The new playoff has nothing to do with what they bargained. It's a separate thing. Now, they could still choose to put it into play this year or the year after, but if I understood the story correctly, that was something that I guess had... which is going to go into effect no matter what.
But here's what I think. I think anytime and when Major League Baseball does what they're going to do with their playoff situation and what the NFL is doing with their playoff situation, I think it's good, man. I think I don't have a problem with that. It gives another team another chance and another fan base to make an improbable run from the wild card round all the way to the Super Bowl. I think that's great. I mean, you know, I think it was last year with the Steelers and maybe the Jets were – would have made it or
this past season?
Yeah, I'm just trying
definitely
to think.
The Steelers
would have made
I think
it.
The Rams in the NFC.
Right. I mean, look, that would be all right. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't with baseball, I liked adding more markets because it's very regional. For football, I didn't think it needed to be messed with. Now, I'm not going to hate it when it happens because I'm going to be watching
games,
football. It's going to be extra games, whatever. It feels unnecessary.
Well,
to
wild card weekend's going to be great. That's basically what it's going to come down to because you're going to get the extra game.
Right. Sights and sounds from the combine yesterday, and there was a lot of it, so we will get to it throughout the course of the morning. I'm not going to fit it all here in the first update. Joe Judge, first time we've heard from him pretty much since he was hired as new Giants head coach and stopped short of calling Daniel Jones the team's franchise quarterback.
It's not going to be fair for me to go ahead and set expectations for any player on our roster at this point. Okay, I'm looking forward to getting them in and working with the spring and training camp and letting them establish their own identity.
You can tell there's going to be a lot of the okays in there.
That's the crutch. Did you see Matt Rhule when you compare the two of them?
God. I'm putting together a Matt Rhule montage for
you.
Because he used one word in particular, I'd say, at least 6 or 7 times yesterday to describe Cam Newton. And it's an obvious one, but it'll play better when we actually air it for you.
All right.
What is the point of saying that Daniel Jones isn't the starting quarterback? Can somebody tell me that?
I think it has more to do about the overall roster and the competition and how nobody's job is determined yet.
I think it's about setting a standard and a culture is what I think.
That's right.
And Dave Gettleman said he's open for business.
Yes. Number 4 pick, open for business. Come give us a call, which is fine. I mean, at this stage, why would you close the door on that, right? You might as well.
There's no reason, especially if there are two quarterbacks there that either the Dolphins or the Chargers want. And if there's a significant one that, let's say, the Chargers want, then they got to go up and they got to trade with the Giants. And the Giants, you know, will still get the guy that they want at number 6.
Yeah. Come give us a good package, and, you know, we'll move down and get our guy and add some picks to the bunch. Why not?
It's all about a package.
It's all about the package. It's a big package, not a small package.
Yes,
It's a big package.
We will hear from Gettleman throughout the course of the morning. Here's one for you. You heard Judge there kind of downplay the whole Daniel Jones as the starter dynamic. Gettleman says you can just apply some logic to that question.
Let me ask you this question. Who was the guy who took the last snap in the last game? Okay, so... so I've answered the question.
But he did also say he's a second-year guy. He's young. You know, so they really tap dance.
Waste of time.
around
why
a lot of
he's the program. Starting quarterback. Wait, this is a waste of time.
We drafted him number 6 overall to replace a legend.
So
and guess
stupid.
What? He replaced a legend.
He was great last year.
Yes.
He should get a little bit of credit. He's a starting quarterback. Everybody knows it. asinine approach is this?
It's a new culture.
New culture.
That's what it is.
Stupid.
No, it's not.
Just say he's the starting quarterback. What is that going to do? If they say that Daniel Jones was the starting quarterback, which is obvious to everybody who's got a brain, that's going to ruin their culture in their locker room. It's asinine.
It's a new culture. That's what's happening.
New culture, my ass. Just say he's the quarterback. It doesn't change anything. What, all of a sudden, the rest of the locker room is going to go batty and loony because they know that Daniel Jones is the quarterback, which they already know?
You know what?
You
make me laugh. You know why?
God.
You make me laugh because you're in one of the great locker rooms in high school football in Long Island.
And we knew who the starting quarterback was.
Yeah, but he wouldn't let you know that until the game. You know, like, he held every one of you sons of bitches, like, you know, right to the feet to the fire, if you will. You know, and if people don't understand what I'm talking about, you played for Belport High School, one of the really good football programs on Long Island. He played for a legendary coach, Joe Sipp.
You can use played loosely, but yes.
No, but you were there.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, sure, I was there.
We knew
who the starting quarterback was. How about this? This is a good example.
But
you want to go to that example, Boomer? Because I lived it, you did not. In 1997,
okay,
we won the national championship.
Yes.
Craig Bazarewski started in that Long Island championship as a junior.
Bazarewski?
And won it.
One of the
greats. Yes. And won it and threw a couple touchdown passes. The next year, as a senior, we all knew he was the starting quarterback because he won the Long Island championship as the starting quarterback. Nobody did that. There wasn't a question about it.
And Joe Sipp did not make it easy for him in the offseason. Nah. I can guarantee you that 100%.
Stop. We all know who the quarterback is. Stop this nonsense. Silly.
At least say it like Edelman if you're going to say it.
It's just silly.
Quarterback.
All right.
Speaking of culture, did you get a look at your boy Adam Gase yesterday?
I did not see him, no.
So I would say during the break, do yourselves a favor. Check out Ralph Acciano's Twitter feed. He was up close and personal, under the brim of the cap, right there now. In the front row. Gase elevated on the podium. He's got the beard in full effect, trying to hide the eyes. There were some disturbing shots. I'll say that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just like got like dressed up in a burqa one day, the way he tries to hide his face, Adam Gase. Like,
while you look that up, here's Joe Douglas, Le'Veon Bell. Topic of conversation for him at the podium yesterday as far as any possible trades go this offseason.
There hasn't been talk as far as him going anywhere.
And he said he's not initiating any conversations, which kind of brings us back to what happened with Jamal Adams around the trade deadline, where he was, I got to do my due diligence if somebody calls, and that kind of got him into a heap of trouble, at least in the short term. And he did say yesterday on Adams.
With who?
With the media.
Yeah, well, screw the media.
Well,
who cares?
I'm just saying. That's,
you
know, public perception.
I'm doing my job, man.
He did say with Adams, they're looking to make him a Jet for life. They've had some initial talks about a contract extension. As far as Bell goes, for him in the team facility so far, they've at least been pleased with what he's done throughout his first year.
I can't tell you how great he's been. I had a great conversation with him at the end of the season exit meeting. And, you know, I know he's been working hard down in Miami, down at Bomberitos. And, you know, I know he's excited to get back. And we're excited to have him.
That's a workout facility down there. But
Sounds like a fun Mexican restaurant.
We're going to go bowling when he comes back. And we're going to have some fun.
And have a rap battle after that.
One more for you before I go. Let's hear from Joe Burrow. Is he kind of put to bed the whole Bengals narrative yesterday as far as not wanting to go there and possibly, you know, manipulating his way out of playing in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
And then he did a nice
Joe Burrow
job of spinning it and saying, well, I didn't want to be presumptuous. They might, you know, they could do whatever. It's their pick. And you guys kind of took that narrative and ran with it. So,
by the way, my agent's telling the Bengals that I really don't want to play there and trying to make a trade for me.
Yeah, basically. There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes that'll just let happen. Yeah. And then up here, I'll make sure I say something so it'll create more controversy.
It's like Kush and Jerry Maguire. Either ski or swim or surf? Ski or swim? Ski or surf?
Squirf?
Surf or ski?
Squirf.
Squirf.
We're going to squirf?
Yeah.
So what position do you want to play in the Mikey Strong game?
I'll play wherever you'll have me.
Well, what were you in high school?
I was a winger.
You are.
I would say this. At 5'7", probably not great on the back end as far as, you know, bumping bodies with some of these larger fellas.
Let me just tell you something. Ken Danico's ass is literally about 3 feet wide.
It's funny you say that.
You are not going to get around. I'm telling you.
I was thinking about that. I was like, what if one of these, like, former pro defense takes me into the corner? Like, am I going to be able to survive?
They're not going to do that. They're not going to hit you. They'll try to hit me because that's what they do. Oh. But I'm just telling you that. When you're out there and, you know, you got Scott Stevens out there and you got Danico out there and you're looking up and there are their jerseys in the rafters and you're like, Jesus, Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. I'm pumped. I appreciate you having me.
Just wear an 88 jersey so they know to just lay out.
Yeah, right.
Wear 86 like my softball jersey for my birth year. That'll kind of they'll put a target on my back. Right?
All right, go out to the newsroom and start squirfing. All right,
squirf. Yeah,
I'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.